Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's Mole Patrol. It's that podcast you like about the mole. Season 2, episode 7 is what we're talking about here today on Reality TV Rehap-Ups. I'm Josh Wigler. I would be joined here by Jess Lease if she hadn't chosen 50,000 Wario bucks over appearing on the podcast this week.
You know what, Josh?
Oh, whoa, she's here.
You ranked me your least favorite co-host. So naturally, I'm going to take the Wario bucks and I'm going to peace out.
I believe that was Brooklyn Zed who ranked you as their least favorite co-host.
Sure, they
thought
did.
The lists were anonymous.
Yeah. By the way, just dragging. Like, I would never, if I were to play on a future season of The Mole, I would never answer anything honestly ever again.
Well, you already know that, Josh. You already know that if they say...
I do, somebody- but some of these people, Jess, are definitely answering honestly. They're like, yeah, I don't like Katie that much. And so now that's come up. Like, what are they going to say now that they've been doxxed?
I don't know, but, you know, you start a task and Anderson Cooper's going to be like, we need someone who likes to watch television and eat pizza. Don't pick that one, Josh.
I'll be like, that ain't me. Yeah, no way.
Couldn't be me.
Couldn't be me. And Anderson would be like, could it be you? And I'd be like, it's me! I can't deny. I love pizza and television so much. I am really loving the television, if not the pizza, of The Mole Season 2. Thankfully, no pizza really to report of this week, so we don't have to besmirch Italy's honor any further, at least this week. But we do have to talk about lard and gnomes. Mm. And gladiatorial games. Before we got on here, I had remarked to Jess and Zed that, wait, which podcast is this week? Is this The Mole Patrol or is this Final Fantasy, which Zed and I podcast about? Because it's like a random encounter. There's like a boss fight in the gladiatorial arena this week.
Yeah, we got stocked up with swords and armor. Definitely real metal on metal sounding armor.
And bloody eggs, Jess.
This is one of those times when I think it probably looked a lot better on a 2002 TV.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny.
What is that? These bloody eggs. Here, let's bloody tuck eggs. A little bloody egg inside your armor. My gosh. Anyway.
You'll have to draw blood. Fake blood.
I see that we Anderson and the mole team this season, Jess, were like, I see laser tag. I raise you physical sword fighting gladiatorial trial by combat.
And one guy has chainmail, and that guy definitely brought his own chainmail.
Yeah,
like, everyone else, I'm not wearing that plastic nonsense.
Yeah, it wasn't like this was like a special guy who's the leader of the pack. The leader of the he's just like, yeah, I brought my own gear, bringing my own stuff to the game.
Yeah, and he definitely like he raised his hand in the briefing. He's like, is this allowed?
Yeah,
it's like when that trio of goons from Final Fantasy brings in their like rough friend in the leather vest.
Yeah, Burke and Brett and whoever. Yeah. I was reminded of the legendary Senior Chang, who in Modern Warfare comes to the dean pitching himself as the paintball god, saying, I'm one of those douchebags who brings my own equipment. Mm-hmm. That's who this guy was this week. It's like, I got my own stuff. So that goes down. There's a literal sword fight as there is a relay race involving a gnome covered in lard. Ugh. A lard covered gnome. This week's mole is lard and in charge, and I am just flabbergasted. This isn't the episode that you keep hyping up?
No.
Because this was ridiculous. And I kept laughing. I was like, wait, this has to be it.
Nope. It gets better. There's at least like two more times you're going to be like, this is it, right? And we're going to be like, nope.
Because they go to breakfast and there's gnomes in their teacups and this isn't it?
And the gnomes say, I will break you.
I will break you.
So intense.
Yep. Okay, Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, gosh.
This isn't it. Like, they go to breakfast, and now everyone has a different little teacup, and there's a tiny-ass little gnome in each of them with little, like, angry different face and different colors.
But wait, there's more.
This isn't the funniest thing?
Nope. Not by long shot.
Well, I thought it was hysterical.
Oh, it was, but
it is.
It is.
I cracked up so hard. I loved this episode. Best one elite, yet, for sure.
Elite television, Josh.
Oh my God.
It's uphill from here, Josh.
I don't even know what to do with the rest of my life once we're through this season. Luckily, we prolong it. At least I prolong it. Next week, we are not moving straight ahead into season 2, episode 8. As mentioned, we are going to do a spoiler-filled edition of The Mole season 2. I shall not be here. It's going to be Zed. It's going to be Jess. You guys are going to hold it down, talk about all the spoilery things that you want. This is for people who've seen this whole season or who do not care to be spoiled. I obviously will never listen to this podcast that you are going to create, so feel free to say whatever you want to about me behind my back. And also write in with your feedback. MolePatrol@RobHasAWebsite.com. That's MolePatrol@RobHasAWebsite.com. Your feedback will be greatly desired for this episode of The Mole Patrol. I won't be here. It's going to be great. I will be away, and then I will be very sad because I will not have been watching The Mole for a week or so, and I really just kind of want to keep going and get into episode 8. I love this season. I love these people.
You sound like even you're advertising like a holiday furniture sale or something.
I'm advertising you like gnomes? Wait until you get them greased. I got greased gnomes for sale. You want a greased gnome?
Okay, now it's cars.
Yeah.
I love this couch. I love these people. I love this ottoman.
Yeah. Well, I love my wife and kids, but you know what I love even more? Greased gnomes. Love my greased gnomes. You just dip them in the lard. You put them in a bucket. You run around, put them in your bicycle, put it in the basket. A greased gnome for every home.
Zed, did you invite Bobcat Goldthwait? Because I know I didn't.
I don't even know Bobcat Goldthwait.
I want a greased gnome for every home. This is my campaign. Promised all of the people out there in the Mole Patrol Kingdom. You vote for me as your favorite host, and I get you a greased gnome. Think about that. The week that I'm away.
Encouragement. I don't know that that's.
You want a gnome?
That people want.
You want a gnome? I can get it for you. You want a greased gnome? I'll get you two.
I don't want any kind of gnome.
You run around. You don't break it. Don't break it. You buy it. No. You break it. You buy it. No exemptions to the rule.
The cost is $30,000.
$30,000 per broken
grease
gnome.
It's a very expensive gnome.
This is the fine print. I shouldn't be reading this part out loud.
Here's where I want to start. Why gnomes? Why are they gnomes? This is not a gnome-heavy part of the world.
Nope.
Why are there gnomes?
This is not the Amazing Race.
No, they don't have a sweet, sweet Travelocity roaming gnome sponsorship. It's just gnomes.
So here,
gnomes. Gnomes. Why gnomes?
So here's my central issue at this current moment in time. You're asking us? You're asking me? Like, this is supposed to be my question for you. You've both seen the season. There's no explanation for this.
There's no explanation for anything that happens for the rest of the show. And you're going to have to just sit on that.
I get it for the Caesar thing. Like, I kind of get.
At least they're in Italy. Mm-hmm.
There's no rhyme or reason to the greased gnomes.
No,
there wasn't some sort of like hidden smart team reference that I'm missing because I'm on the stupid team.
No,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
what a choice.
They are not anywhere near Rome, are they? They're in Tuscany.
They're in Lucca.
No. Yeah, I'm looking up Lucca. It is west of Florence.
Yeah, they're nowhere near Rome right now. I mean, nowhere near Rome is, you know, but they're not near Rome.
No, they are very far from Rome.
So you can't even say like a greased Rome.
Yeah, no. There's no greased Rome.
My goodness. I love it so much. It is it is such a strong choice. That, like, nobody is able to escape the lunacy of, including the producers. Heather is going to explain this to a producer, and you hear the producers cracking up in the background.
She can't say slippery.
None of them can contain themselves.
I think the quote from Heather goes, the hand, the slippery, and the movements. She becomes Jerry Lewis in this moment.
The slippery and the movements. We're in it. We're here.
The podcast and the gnomes and the show.
We just have to get into it. All right. Zed, you're the adult. You have to lead us through the recap.
Oh, gosh.
Zed is the youngest person in the room.
Yeah, I am.
Lead the way. Help.
I mean, the first thing that I have is not necessarily super helpful, because in the opening confessionals, Olavia is talking about her fellow players. It says one of them is a stinky freaking liar.
A freaky stinky
which
liar.
Me up.
Yeah.
The mole is a stinky freaking liar. A
stinking freaky liar.
Freaky liar? A stinking liar?
A stinking liar. A freaking liar?
Stinky freaking liar.
A stinky freaking liar.
Stinky freaking liar.
An SFL.
Yeah. So we get the general sense that the game is getting more difficult because the field of competition is narrowing.
For sure. I believe Bill says this thing has so many layers to it, it's hard to get to the bottom of. Banner episode for Bill. Wow. Wow. Again, have to begin the process of separating Bill from Charlie, because this is an individual.
Yeah, I think that might be the debut of your Bill voice.
That's Bill's coming out party.
Yeah. It's been happening slowly,
mostly when you say Tuesday.
Yeah.
He has a Tuesdayman reference on the Final Fantasy podcast this week.
When I have the opportunity to really emphasize the H in a when, it'll be more pronounced.
Oh man. We're in a van driving to Luca, and Darwin is suspicious of Dorothy and Olavia because they've had two exemptions. He calls one of them mole face or exemption face. I can't remember which.
Exemption face.
It's been 22 days. There's $226,000 in the pot, and they are headed to Luca. At breakfast, as we have already referenced, everybody gets a little gnome at their place setting that says, "I will break you."
I will break you. An Ivan Drago reference.
I should have worn my Ivan Drago socks to this podcast.
And I'm just double checking. I'm going through the remaining cast members. None of them are from Soviet Russia.
No.
Don't believe.
No.
No. In Soviet Russia, gnome grease is you.
No. Oh, no. It is 10 o'clock at night. It might still be too early for that.
Never too early and never too late.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's so good.
Everybody is concerned with the various colorings and facial expressions of everybody else's gnomes. They think this will be important, so they've all got to play past the gnome effectively and write down details about everybody else's little figurines.
In fairness, that did come up. It was on the quiz.
They weren't wrong.
Yeah.
This is where you're at if you're playing the mole. You got to check everybody else's little figurine for details.
Oh my goodness. My gosh. So meanwhile, that's going on, and then Anderson Cooper says you have to split yourself into two teams, three people who would prefer to watch Romancing the Stone and five people who would rather watch Gladiator. Mm-hmm. And Bribs is like, Gladiator.
Team Gladiator. No question. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I love Gladiator.
I feel very comfortable about Gladiator.
I like Russell Crowe, is what he says.
Spoiler alert. He's not wrong about that either. But
about Gladiator versus Romancing the Stone?
I mean, he chose correctly.
Oh, for himself.
Chose wisely. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he like really does like go like full Maximus Aurelius in this episode. Are you not entertained?
He fulfilled a boyhood dream, he's going to say later.
What a psycho. Let me just trot that word out again. You ever played swords, kid?
And for your entire childhood, you just fantasized about being in a gladiatorial arena?
You just wanted to wail on some strangers with a plastic sword and defend the honor of a person who's known for 3 weeks.
Who among us said?
I mean, I love wailing on strangers with swords, but they're not usually plastic.
My boyhood dream was to find myself in such dire and destitute circumstances that I could only find my way forward by fighting to the death against severe combatants in a gigantic people-filled arena filled with lions and blood. And finally today, I got to do it.
Where did that come from?
That's Brivis' boyhood dream. Unreal. This is what I want to do with my life. And he gets to do it today. He's so excited about it later on. He's like, if I left today, I wouldn't regret a thing.
Yeah,
I
got regrets.
No regrets.
I'm happy for him.
At which point I'm like, so Bribs, you lucky son of a gun, because you for sure failed the quiz. Like, you were going home, like 100%. 100%. No doubt about it. Unreal. Anyway, Romancing the Stone or Gladiator. You know, I still haven't done Romancing the Stone.
Me either.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Patreon Discord watch along?
Should we do a Romancing the Stone versus Gladiator head to head? Like, which one is the better movie? We'll watch them back to back. Just block out 7 hours.
Yeah, we've all got time.
Gladiator is five of those.
I'll put my kid in front of a different screen.
Yeah.
Gladiator, I've seen.
Yeah.
I've seen Gladiator.
I, too, have seen Gladiator.
So we don't need to watch that one again.
Should, though, for the sake of the experiment. Yeah. Yeah, we should do it. So it's going to be Heather, Olavia, and Bill will get Romancing the Stone. Everyone else is Gladiator.
So Anderson's going to take those three players first to explain their task. And the show's going to intersperse the two. We're going to hop back and forth a bunch.
Oh, I thought they were happening simultaneously and there were two Anderson Coopers.
You did? Yeah.
Yes.
The world is not ready for a second Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, the show like vaguely tries to imply that these things are happening at the same time, despite the fact that he's in both places and wearing different clothes.
Because he keeps going like across town, this is happening. I'm like, yeah, okay,
like,
so
meanwhile,
there's
the
only possible explanation is there are two Anderson Coopers.
Right. If only. Maybe we could get one of them on the phone.
Yeah.
So he takes the Romancing the Stone team and he says, I think you guys are going to have fun today. Actually, let me rephrase that. I think I'm going to have fun today.
Yeah.
And I hope you guys have fun too.
And he does have fun.
Yeah. I do not think the players had fun doing this task.
I don't know.
You want to be covered in grease, Josh?
No, I don't. I really, really definitely do not.
No.
But the rest of them seem like they're laughing. They're having a decent time, no?
I think Heather has fun talking about it. I don't know that she has fun doing it.
Just this one of those, like, I'm glad it happened.
Yeah, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.
Yeah, I think that.
Don't cry because it happened. Smile because it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. One of those things, like, in the moment, you're realizing I have to go through this to the other side because this is going to be the best story later on.
Yeah, you got to go. You got to keep going.
Yeah. So we're playing a game called Gnome Home. And spoiler alert, the gnome is not going to get home. He's going to end up with his head on a pike at a...
No, Rudy, no. Oh, God, Rudy. They got Rudy.
So they have to bring this gnome to the finish line to win $30,000. The caveat being it's going to be greased up in lard. And I think I've learned from this episode of television, Katie may have a fear of jelly. I'm not afraid of lard, but I have a visceral negative reaction to the word, to seeing it on screen, to seeing it covering this gnome, to see it dripping down human bodies. I don't want it. I've been a vegetarian for the majority of my life at this point, and it's gross.
I'm not a vegetarian, and I find this disgusting. Like, I think this whole section is very gross.
I honestly don't think this becomes less disgusting if you sub in Crisco.
Yeah, I think any version of, like, I have to slime up this gnome. Like, what do you do? Like, Crisco, you want to put KY jelly on this thing? Like, this is not good.
A little bit of shea butter.
No,
I gotta say, I think olive oil would be less gross.
Olive oil in Italy. Tough.
Olive oil would make sense, though. They're in Italy, right?
Yeah, yeah. But we're there's not making sense. There's uses of lard.
There's culinary uses. I could text Chef Emily. It wouldn't be the first time today that I consulted Emily Fox for a food fact on a podcast. Well, I mean,
there's lots of uses for lard.
Yeah,
sure. But I feel like you're on the Mediterranean diet. You're gonna be inclined to use more olive oil.
They should have, if they're gonna put olive oil on, then they should put some vinegar on as well. They should dress this gnome up like a salad.
I think I know why they didn't do the olive oil though, because the olive oil, too tasty.
Yeah.
But you have to. You could conceivably dunk the gnome and you'd be done. If you use the lard, you have to like get up on there and make the hand motion that I'm not going to make that Anderson was making when he was like talking about greasing your gnome, and he was very excited to be making
evocative,
that hand
very evocative.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Of what we shall leave it to your imagination.
Let's leave that. Let's
your
leave
listener.
That. Yeah.
Yep.
I think that the olive oil still would have been like, it's a shallow pool that the gnome has to go in.
Yeah, but so, he can submerge. He doesn't have to.
I don't
to
know. Get, like, I guess it depends on the gnome, Jess, because if it's Rudy, Rudy's a big boy. And I don't think that Rudy is like fully being submerged in that shallow pool, even if it's olive oil.
Why did they pick the biggest gnome?
Yeah. Do you think that's the right choice? Because I
it was the lightest.
It's unwieldy.
It is, and that is an issue, and I think that is at least could be the central issue, assuming that Heather's not the mole or Bill is not the mole and one of them sabotaged this thing. Certainly it's not Olavia who's the mole. So I don't know. I think it's the lightest one. They figure like that's going to be easiest. I do think that like if there's like a smaller one that's like, you know, like even if a smaller one that's like 10 pounds, 15 pounds or something like that, you still probably run with that easier, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. If you've ever carried a 20-pound box of cat litter through New York City and a 10-pound bag of laundry through New York City, let me tell you which one is easier.
Yeah.
It's the heavier, smaller one rather than a thing you have to like fully wrap your arms around that is almost as big as I am.
Yeah, and it's just to put a point on it, it is covered in lard. It's greased head to toe, bow to stern, nose to tail, tip of the cap to the tip of the toes. It is submerged.
I'm so upset. So gross.
And so, like, that's hard to do. It's a challenge. Yep.
You can't tuck Rudy under your arm. He's too big.
Yeah, I would rather have something that weighs twice as much as Rudy that I could put under one arm like a football.
Right.
And you can't tuck Rudy under your arm.
And from
there
experience.
You go, RHAP out of context. Enjoy.
And you can't tuck Rudy under your arm.
I can tuck up to 45 pounds under one arm and run with it.
Yep, that sounds about right. Can confirm.
My goodness. I love how Anderson reveals the details of this. There is one catch, as if the gnome itself isn't already the catch of the relay race.
Yeah, cuz they have to do like a full obstacle course, complete various tasks while carrying Rudy, the oversized gnome. And by the way,
He says there is one catch. Your gnome, it's greased.
You know, like a greased gnome.
Your gnome, it's greased. And he says, you can grease your own gnome, but you can't grease your friend's gnome.
Nobody wanted to try, Anderson. Literally nobody was asking for this.
Although, doesn't Heather grease the gnome for Bill?
I think she does.
She does.
Well, Heather has a hard time not touching things that she's not supposed to touch.
This is a very good point.
Anderson does clarify that she's allowed to touch both gnomes before they make their decision.
Before they make the selection, yeah.
Which is all the more baffling to me that they can pick them both up and like hold them and they still choose the bigger one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I wish that they could hold them greased, like grease them all up and then hold them.
Mm-hmm.
I want all the information.
Yeah. To get the, I think that that's fair to get like a little bit of a compare contrast in the Grease.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and every time, you know how there are those videos, like, I think there's one for B-movie where every time they say the word B, they speed it up 10%. I feel like Anderson is like that with the phrase Grease the Gnome. Every time he says Grease your gnome, he gets like 10% more satisfied with himself.
Because it just keeps getting funnier and more ridiculous.
Yes.
But it's hysterical.
As evidenced by where we're at. 25 minutes into this podcast.
We're still talking about it, yes.
My gosh. Yeah,
it is time. I never thought I'd say this, but it is time to grease your gnome.
Yes.
I think he did think he would say it.
Yeah.
I think he thinks about
it
a lot.
And then we get the great confessional from Heather where she can't say the gnome is very slippery. He's very slippy. It's slippy. Slippier. The gnome is very slippy.
The producer is like having a meltdown in the background, just cracking up. Yeah. As Heather is cracking up, the two of them are just like losing their minds together.
I think I'm just embarrassed by this entire conversation. M-O-T-P-D.
Yes, that's the one.
So Heather's going to have to run and climb a ladder with this gnome and then get her picture taken by a lion statue. Bill has to score a goal, like in soccer or football, his life.
Yes.
And then ride a bike.
Yes.
And Olavi is going to have to, like, I don't know, go up some stairs, follow some arrows. We know,
do a thing.
We never get to that part, so sure. I don't really know what she has to do.
Do we want to cut back and forth, or do you want to just run this through all the way?
Let's get sliding on the gnome and like ride it out to the end.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think that's the right thing.
Okay.
Because like Heather like takes off and she's making great time right away, and she lucks out. There's an American tourist, but I guess she's slightly unlucky in that the American tourist seems very nervous about the scary, crazy woman running at her with the
dripping
gnome in
grease. Yeah.
Dripping in lard.
Ugh.
But she does take the Polaroid picture of her, and she's able to get to Bill relatively quickly.
But I will say, I'm curious, had they accomplished the end of the race, if they would have won the money, because she was supposed to get a picture of herself and the gnome and the lion statue. And there's like a foot of the lion in this picture, like a lion paw.
Mm.
And it's so blurry. It's so blurry.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that I would rule that technically the statue is in there.
The mildest of spoilers for the season five of The Mole, or the third regular competitor season, there is a task where they have to take pictures on like a flip phone camera and then send it to the host. And the host gets very picky about this. He's like, well, I can see this and this, but not that. I can see this and this, but now I can't see your face.
The host isn't Anderson Cooper.
Yeah. This was not Anderson Cooper.
No.
Maybe he would have been like, sure, I know that's the lion. It's okay. But we'll never know because we never get to the finish line.
Yeah, remember Polaroids?
Mm-hmm. I do. I remember.
They're cool again, I think.
Yeah.
They come around every couple of years.
You get an Instax or something. Oh my god. I don't know, but it's called something like that.
We got a corporate gift one year. Somebody sent to our office, one of our vendors sent us this thing that was a printer. And what you did was you turned on your phone, you pulled up a picture on your phone, you stuck your phone face down on the printer, and you hit a button and it spit out a little Polaroid of whatever was on your phone screen.
That's ridiculous.
It's, I remember,
so
this.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I recall. I remember that.
Well, in any case, Heather takes her picture and she gets to Bill and she greases up the gnome for Bill.
For Bill. She does grease her friend's gnome. This is where I would be like, if I'm Anderson, I would maybe litigate that.
No, and she would be like, we are not friends.
This is just a stranger. This is not a friend. I don't trust Bill. He's not my friend. Along the way, I don't want to miss this. She's like struggling. She tries to run. She's like, I can't keep up this pace. So she's walking and Anderson like rides by her on a bike.
Oh my God.
He's like, yeah, it's a nice day, right?
Yeah, it's a nice day. So Bill gets the gnome, and Bill's got an issue. He has to kick a soccer ball against not just a goalie.
A female goalie.
A female goalie.
So he takes it easy on her.
You gotta go gentle. So I'm going to go very gently on the female goalie.
It turns out this female goalie is a darn good female goalie.
Right, but she's a darn good female goalie, is what he says.
So then I kicked her in the stomach with a soccer ball.
Shit out of her.
The female stomach.
The female stomach.
So then I fought her. And
I took her to the gladiator arena.
The female gladiator arena. Oh,
God. He kicks the soccer ball so hard. He goes, I kicked her so hard. Which is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Bill, much like Colby Donaldson, only knows one way, and that's full tilt.
Work hard, play hard.
Yeah, he goes nuts. He kicks her. He hulks out. He kicks that soccer ball like a psycho. he kicks her
right
in
her female belly, but right it was not a goal.
In the female belly, and he says, I got a goal, didn't I? Did he?
Eventually, yeah.
It wasn't
not
that
the time that he not the time that he kicked her, kicked the ball right into her stomach. That is not a goal.
Despite
that, eventually,
I feel like something like that happens in like Space Jam, where the character is attached to the ball and they score the ball anyway. So mm-hmm. In real life, this does not count.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, oh my god.
Monsters. Yeah.
It cracked me up, Bill. Oh my God, Bill, you wild man.
He forgets to take the picture.
I kicked her so hard that I hit her in the belly. And so that happens. And yeah, he forgets to take the picture.
With the female goalie. So he goes and gets, he's gotten on the bike and then he's like, oh, right, I got to take a picture with the female goalie. So he has to get back off the bike and go over and take the picture with the female goalie and then mm-hmm. get back on the bike.
Yeah.
And now he's got to do an obstacle course. And Heather suggests that he puts the gnome in the basket.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that's a good idea.
It was a very good idea. And so he puts the gnome in the basket, much like where the lotion goes.
Uh-huh. If the lotion is lard on
yes,
the gnome.
Yeah. You put the lotion on the gnome or else you get the hose again. And so he's like riding around these obstacles. And I have in my notes very quickly, I said, he rides over a ramp. Does he have to? And then he flies off and shatters the gnome everywhere. The gnome explodes like fireworks on the 4th of July.
Yeah. Is this ramp like a teeter totter? Like as he goes over it, is it going to like ramp down? Or is he about to go like flying off this?
Anderson, do I get
ramp?
To test this out? Is this like,
do I get to do some sweet jumps?
Yeah. He falls and the gnome explodes on the ground.
Yeah. The first time he misses the ramp and he's got to like go back around to do it a second time. Yeah, falls off. He falls on the gnome. The bike falls on the gnome.
It's a disaster. Anderson says it's a sad sight.
And Heather's like, as I thought about the movie Romancing the Stone, you know, I figured that like there might be and Anderson did say at the start of the task that there is an exemption in play, but we'll talk about that later. Now is later. Later is now. There is an exemption in this gnome. And if you had seen Romancing the Stone, I guess you would know that there's something in the stone. The stone is in something.
Could you shake the gnome and hear something rattling around, do you think?
Well, what did the exemption look like?
Yeah, it seemed like it was some sort of like bar.
Wooden or plastic little like plaque.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
a tiny 2x4.
Yeah.
If it was like a hidden immunity idol, like wrapped up in burlap, it probably wouldn't make a sound.
I don't think it was in anything. I think it was just there. Maybe they like slotted it into the foot so that it was like flat. Or maybe it was like attached in some way and only came apart when the thing shattered.
But either way, it shatters and poor Bill is
R.I.P.
just like
Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy's body is destroyed. And Bill just like is picking up pieces of Rudy when he finds the exemption, but he's just like, oh, poor Rudy. He needs to like put him back together, Humpty Dumpty
Bill
style.
Feels bad.
Yeah, and he's like trying to like kind of like narrate what's going on. He goes, you can see my wheel marks.
on the ramp, yeah.
Yeah, you can see my wheel marks.
Yeah, Anderson is like, well, you don't get $30,000 for the pot, but you do get an exemption. And Bill's like, I guess a night or two from now, that'll feel good. Doesn't feel so good right now.
Bill, who was adamant about going second, he's like, put me in the middle because I might be able to make up some time. Bill's like,
after proving his athletic prowess the Bill, week before.
That's my boy, Bill. loves to overinflate his sense of self.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely incredible.
That's surgeons for you.
Yeah, I guess. And also admirals.
Mm-hmm. I was Admiral just going to say old white men.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that too. I broke the gnome. I lost 30,000 bucks. Yep. You can see my wheel marks.
and now, after Heather suggested putting the gnome in the basket and Bill says that's a good idea, now Bill is suspicious of Heather's suggestion to put the gnome in the basket. Because he's like, I was going to carry it under my arm so that I could see where I was going, but she said I should put it in the basket, so I did. And then I couldn't see, so I fell over and we lost. So it's Heather's fault that Bill fell off the ramp. It seems to be his argument.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's a lot like, did Heather know? Or was she just like saying, I put the gnome in the basket, you psycho? You cannot ride with it in your hands?
Ride this bike one-handed?
What choice does, like, even if Heather's the mole and she has unglued the basket, where else is Rudy supposed to go? Well,
was it one
is
of
he gonna
those,
balance him on his nose? Like, what's he gonna do?
Was this a men's bike or a women's bike? Did it have?
It's a female, female bike.
Because if it has the crossbar, I
the
feel
the top
like,
bar. Yeah,
I feel like the play is you stick him on the crossbar right in front of you, and you kind of lean over and like T-Rex your arms together.
T-Rex your arms together. Yeah.
It's too tempting to not do the ET, though.
Oh, gosh.
But you need a blanket to really properly eat.
Rudy, phone home.
He can't.
Rudy, phone home.
That was so dumb.
Olavia mentions, this is in a confessional, I believe. She says she's already had two exemptions, so she didn't want this one because it's time to start putting money in the pot.
Yeah. Yeah. She's really focused on the money this week, which works out for her, honestly, decently well.
Yeah.
You know, not bad. I do have a couple of questions, but I think by and large, like, I don't know the exact same thing that she ends up doing.
And then Bill and Heather want to make sure that Olavia doesn't get left out. So they give her a hug so she can be greasy, too. And then we also can't. Anderson does not have a grease exemption.
Yeah. Anderson is not allowed to escape without getting covered in lard.
Now, see, now this makes me wish they had shot these things back to back on the same day.
So he has to go be all greasy at the gladiator battle.
Yep. Yeah. Greasy. Yeah. And then somebody like maybe shatters their egg on him. And
yeah,
I don't know. I just like him messy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like him messy.
Yeah. Oh, unbelievable. So that's the gnome. And when I tell you that I howled, I laughed so hard watching this whole episode, but the gnome stuff just absolutely sent me.
Anderson rolling up on the bike being like, that sure is one greasy gnome you have.
Yes. Yes.
That slayed.
Yes, Anderson. Unreal. It is because you required me to dip this gnome in lard cover it with my hands in lard.
Unreal.
Lard. I don't even like saying it.
No, lard. I don't either. It was a female bike, I just checked.
It's a shame that they didn't give them lardic inspiration.
Oh my god.
Hey.
Oh my god.
Well, that's a good segue into sword play as we go to the gladiator games. It is.
Sure. We must do a battle sans magic with swords.
Yeah.
But
the battle itself, Jess, is the magic.
Is magical.
The true battle.
The very existence of the battle.
The true battle is the friends we made along the way.
Yeah.
And the enemies that we fought and stabbed and,
and lay
skewered
slain.
Through the blood eggs.
Yeah.
In a public plaza.
Yeah, this public plaza, they're like, it used to be the amphitheater. And I'm like, well, yeah, but now it's just a bunch of nondescript buildings in a circle.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not like it's been preserved as a coliseum.
No, you went to a
just
prom
like people's
store.
Apartment windows looking out on a plaza.
Yeah, you went to a prom store and got a couple of columns, but there's no authenticity to it.
Hired Although I did appreciate a couple local actors to hold some trumpets.
I don't even know if those were actors. I think those were just crew members. I did like that it was appropriate. You had all the people looking out from their second floor apartments, and they're in Luca, so they live on the second floor. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Mm. I'm looking down at them, though, and being like, what are you all doing out there? Like, playing gladiator.
Al's so hype.
Al comes into this thing way too hot.
He comes in at 11 and he goes to a zero.
He's also living out his boyhood dream. He just didn't say so.
No, he really didn't.
We have Bribs, Katie, Dorothy, Darwin, and Al. Al is suspicious of Dorothy because she's bad at walking and running.
She lives in New York City. All you do is walk and run.
He's not wrong.
Do you do much running, Josh? In New York City, where we all live?
I am, despite what I present, perhaps you may be surprised that, yeah, especially because of my wife, who is like the fastest of walkers. I'm like a fast walker. I walk fast. Like, get out of my way.
Yeah.
And no, okay, I will not look at you. I'm just trying to get to where I need to go.
I'm asking if you run.
Not often in New York, no.
Yeah, not if we can help it. If we're running, something's wrong.
Will I walk really fast? Yeah.
Yes.
Very fast.
I think also as shorter people, we tend to walk faster because we are accustomed to keeping up with the longer strides of taller folk.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not in this conversation at all.
Yeah, no, you're not.
No, I'm not.
You walk fast,
having dated a couple of people who are 6 feet tall.
I walk faster than anybody I know.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta go fast, like Sonic.
We got places to go. We got things to do. We got gladiators to defeat.
I go fast like Sonic if Sonic could only walk.
Yeah. It's not a rule, but like it is certainly like a signpost that you could like tell who lives in New York based on like their walk speed.
Yep.
It is not a guarantee, but it's a really good marker.
Yeah.
You could certainly tell.
Just a little PSA that if you're coming to visit, keep moving on the sidewalk.
Just keep going.
If you got to stop, if you want to take a picture,
get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Please do not.
It's nothing personal, but we have places to be. I have to go to work.
If you're walking with a group, do not clog the sideway. Sidewalk.
You can't walk five abreast.
Yeah, you can walk two abreast at most.
And that is already potentially pushing it. And if you are walking two abreast, you have to be on alert for anyone who may be around you.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Social awareness.
Please don't trap me. Please don't make me walk out into the street around three cars and then lap you.
Yeah,
I'll do it, but I'll be mad at you and I'll never tell you because I'll never see you again, but I'll be so upset.
You got to huff at them while you walk past.
I definitely have to grumble a little bit under my breath.
Yeah.
And so with the headphones in, then probably grumbling louder than I am aware.
Yeah. Also, if you're riding the subway, wear a mask. Just
please wear a mask. Yes, please.
The families of tourists I've seen not wearing masks in the subway. But that's neither here nor there, because there is Italy is where we are.
Yes.
The gang is ready. They're excited. They're playing. Have you seen Gladiator? You want to watch Gladiator? We're doing Gladiator.
We're doing Gladiator. And Bribs is like, yeah, hell yeah.
They're doing like the Be Kind Rewind version of Gladiator.
Yeah.
They choose Dorothy as Caesar, I think, because she's the one people most suspect of being the mole.
That's what they say. She's the top mole suspect of this group. So if she's the mole and she's Caesar, she just like there's nothing.
Yeah, she just has to sit there.
Yeah.
So she's given a crown. She has to remove her bucket hat so that she can wear the crown.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If the crown is still on Caesar's head at the end of the game, you win $30,000. That's all there is to it.
As they're like talking it all through and like you have to draw blood with the sword. It's fake blood. Don't worry. But like my jaw was dropped. Uh-huh. Jess, I have in my notes. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Because I was just floored by the fact that like they were going to do like a bloody sword fight on a reality show. That the competition this time is like, skewer your enemy.
Yeah, but it's fake blood. They were very clear on that point.
I feel like The Amazing Race has done stuff like this. They've certainly made people learn like stage combat routines and like do fight choreography on film sets and things.
Oh, they present this like the most decisive battle, you know?
Yeah. Katie's deeply alarmed. She has this look on her face like, excuse me?
Yeah, but then Katie like locks in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she crashes it.
Katie's like, it's time.
She's like, yeah, I'm, you know, she's nervous about being the only girl out there, but it's her opportunity to be one of the guys.
Yeah.
And they are choosing their helmets. They're all getting like suited up in their plastic armor and shields and their plastic swords, strategizing with Dorothy represented by a rock in the center of their battlefield. They're protecting. And this is where we find out that Bribs has the Brutus helmet.
This is a cool Brutus twist.
Helmet, yeah.
I like this twist. Going to Bribs is a waste. Like, I wish this went to somebody else because, like, Bribs isn't going to do this. I'm trying to think of this group who might make the choice. I think they may have the wrong group here. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's doing this. I don't think anyone is turning and murdering their entire pack of allies should it come to it.
It's tough. I mean, it's a tall order. If you've done well in the challenge, which they do, like Bribs would have had to take out Darwin and Katie and then kill Caesar and take the crown off her head. He's got to kill three more people after the battle is over because they did really well and only Al is down.
Yeah. Jess, is the way to do this, if it's about like a backstabbing, should it have been like Bribs just has to like stab his allies in the back and like join up with the bad guys? Should it have been like a little bit easier to do? Because this does like mechanically, I think it's like mechanically it is really difficult to achieve the mass murder here. I think with like the laser gun game, even though it didn't go great in season one, like I feel like it's maybe a little more achievable here. Like you have to like physically break an egg like on somebody's sternum.
Yeah,
on their well, armor.
The only way this really works is if more people die. Like if it's Bribs and one other guy. Or, you know, if it's like one other combatant and Bribs have survived this thing, or if Bribs is the only guy left, then I think it becomes much easier because you only have to take one person out and it's pretty quick. You just like smack them and you probably even do it with your hand because they're not expecting it. Like just smack them with your hand and the egg breaks and they're dead. And then you go over and take the crown off of Caesar because I don't think Caesar is allowed to fight.
Yeah, I mean, Caesar's unarmed. Caesar's not wearing any armor and has no weapons.
Yo, if you're Caesar, though, can you, like, pick up a sword and defend yourself?
I
mean,
I would. But yeah,
I know you would.
I don't know. Yeah, I think Bribs would have had to do less to help his team first.
Yeah.
Because he takes out at least two of the gladiators himself, if not more.
He would have had to decide early on that he was just going to outlast.
You like can't decide at the end, I'm going to kill my three friends.
Yeah.
Because I think you kill one person and everybody's like, yeah.
Yeah, no. And then they're like, wait a second, stop it.
But he has to be the lone survivor, so like the bad guys all have to be down too. It's just, it's too hard to accomplish.
Yeah, you can't join the bad guys either.
Yeah, right. If you could, if like the move was you link up with the bad guys who already have the numbers, then I think it's a different story. Like if it's
medallions on their backs that could be smashed instead, more like flag football style, almost,
and more Caesar style.
Yeah,
because as Anderson clarifies, he says you technically wouldn't have been backstabbing anyone. It would have been more of a frontal stab.
But he's not going to do it. And he doesn't even get a chance because everyone rocks out really hard. Al is murdered immediately.
I love this.
First blood.
Yeah. Here's my question. Like they take Al out and he falls down dead with like the blood trickling out. And it's very theatrical. And I wonder if maybe everyone else was like, oh, crap, I guess now when we get out, we can't just go sit on the bench. We have to lie there and pretend too.
Al blew it for everybody.
Yeah, ruined it for everybody.
Yeah. But great for us. Yeah.
It tickles me that they add in these like metal on metal sound effects.
Yes.
With these very clearly plastic swords and shields bashing against each other. Incredible. They're like, we're not giving you real weapons, but we'll add some cool sound effects in post.
Yeah, they also pump in applause from the crowd in post. it's a very clear, like, canned applause that, like, you've heard a thousand times on, like, sitcoms. It's, like, very WandaVision this moment.
We've really sort of skipped over the fact that, like, they get paraded in, led by these trumpeters.
That are not playing the trumpet.
Yeah, they're revealed to, like, a live audience sitting in this plaza. Al's all hyped up that there's people here to watch them after they've, like, marched through the town. They make a whole big day of it.
Yeah.
It's a day that is definitely not the day that the relay race happened.
It's exceptional. It really is just outstanding. So that goes down. Katie, who's like locked in, is just like at war. When it's over, she goes, holy shnikes. Another great holy shnikes.
She calls Aloysius.
Aloysius is down.
Katie gets in a kill. Smashes her shield into somebody else's shield so that
she crushes a man's chest.
Yeah, like crushes their own medallion, which is an effective strategy. I think most of them actually get done that way rather than like being hit with the sword. The
sword's not going to break anything. It is made of plastic.
It's not.
I think the sword itself will break before anything breaks.
Yeah. You hold the shield out. Just a lot of body slamming.
Got to hold the shield out in front of you and just body slam everybody and constantly like be moving like with your arm, like the forward momentum to like not get knocked back as best as you can, I think.
Also, the correct way to block is to have your arm like up like perpendicular to the way that an attack would come in.
Oh, that's
for anybody
that's
out
great.
There who might end up in a
shield fight,
shield battle anytime soon. Techniques that I know.
That's great. Genius. We love this.
I love when fighting tasks happen on reality TV shows.
This is a great one.
My favorite things.
Yeah. We should do our next podcast after Mole Patrol should be Fight Club, where we just go and evaluate different fight scenes in reality TV.
We get a lot of amazing
here for it.
That way.
But we can't tell anyone about the podcast.
Right.
And if anyone finds the podcast, they cannot tell anyone about the podcast either.
Yeah.
First rule, don't tweet about Fight Club. Second rule, don't tweet about Fight Club.
I mean, we got stage combat.
Do not at me about Fight Club.
This could work, though, because we got stage combat. We got Golden Gloves Boxer. We've got whatever you are, Josh.
Wow.
He's the Al of the podcast.
I've never been in a fight in my life. I punched my best friend in the face when we were 13.
That counts.
Oh,
I was in that
fight. So unlike Jeff Winger, you've been in a fight before.
No, it was really, really cheap. I sucker punched him. It wasn't fair.
Oh.
Wasn't fair. I've had a lot of regrets about it ever since.
Clearly, if you're still thinking about it now.
I think about it every day. I feel terrible about it.
Does your friend still speak to you?
Yeah, we're still really close.
Okay, so he's clearly forgiven you. I think you need to forgive yourself, man.
It took months and it was really hard.
anyway, we won't talk about Fight Club anymore until we do the podcast, and then we'll like broadcast it. But like the tweeting and the social media, the social media messaging will be like, we're not telling you about this new podcast that we're doing.
Just be very interesting if there was one.
Fight Club is a great idea. No one take that, okay? Don't tell anyone.
And in October, when we're ready for a new project.
Yeah.
Nobody better take it.
No one take it. No one take it. Okay. So Bribs is very proud that he didn't do the thing. It was a hard decision, but they've earned the $30K, which is good because it's the only money they get this week.
Mm-hmm. Now Katie's suspicious that he's turned down the exemption because maybe that means he doesn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
But Bribs is we'll talk later. I don't think he says it. He might say it now or he might say it later when he's talking about living out his boyhood fantasy. That like he wanted to play the game straight up. He wanted to be himself. He doesn't want to backstab anybody. But that's where Anderson says, you wouldn't have been backstabbing anyone.
You'd be front-stabbing them, technically. Yeah. I think I'm officially out on Bribs as the mole. Mm-hmm.
You've been out on Bribs as the mole.
I'm going to make it official in this moment. Okay. I'm done with Bribs as the mole. Mm-hmm. Out on Bribs. I guess I have to select a new mole.
Mm-hmm. Choose your fighter.
I've been driving towards Al the last few weeks. I'll go with Al. I'll lock in on Al for now. And then, and so first pick was Bribs. And so if Bribs ends up being the mole, I balked on the mole. And now if it's Al, I got it. And if I leave Al at any point, I'll let you know. But right now, I'll put it on Al. Yeah.
So we are at dinner and talking about significant others for the sake of a quiz question. So everybody's talking about how they met their significant others. And Katie says, all the men that are my significant others don't know it yet. And they don't know I exist. So it doesn't work.
I love Katie so much. My God, I really do. She's the best. Heather's boyfriend was somebody with like dark hair and blue eyes, right? And that's like what she thought she was going to go for as a kid.
She always said as a kid, yeah.
Charlie tells the story of the time I met Bernadette.
I hate this so much.
Yeah.
I hate it and I love it.
As Al Pacino would say, she had a great ass! That's what he says in Heat. Bill says,
she must be very smart.
Bill says, I met a girl in a bikini and she had the most, I'm quoting, she had the most wonderful ass. She had the most wonderful ass, he says. So I thought she must be really smart. I'd like to meet her. Psychopath. The way he tells this story is psychotic.
It's not good.
Bill is Hannibal Lecter. This dude is going to like eat you with a nice Chianti and some fava beans. I'm telling you, it puts the lard on the skin or else it gets the hose again. Bill is a psycho.
Yeah. I don't love it. I don't love it.
I do. I love it a lot.
Oh, my God. It's just wild. Absolutely, absolutely wild. What else do we hear? Like Dorothy met her boyfriend via Scrabble. That's cool.
That's triple not how, word score.
You know, like, not how long word. The words are.
No, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Triple word. Yeah. What else? I think
that's kind of it for dinner.
Everybody gets their own rooms for the first time in the whole thing. I think that's nice. Yes.
Oh, but then nobody gets to be shirtless in bed together.
Yeah.
Having pillow talk about who they think the mole is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heather is literally playing solitaire.
Yeah.
Only game in town.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when Bribs tells us that if he goes home, he'll have no regrets.
Yeah.
He got to live out one of his boyhood
dreams. I got
to
live out my boyhood dream.
I got to fake kill a bunch of people.
In public.
With a plastic sword.
So funny.
The next day, the players are each given a dollar bill and asked to rank their fellow players.
That's me. I'm Dollar Bill.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he is.
Buffalo Bill.
Mm-hmm. Katie ranks Bill last because she doesn't trust him.
Yeah, it's the favorite to least favorite game again. Mm-hmm. And everyone
on dollars this time.
Well, let's just deface the currency.
Is that against the law? I feel like that's against the law.
I mean, but they're in Italy.
They didn't do it on lira. That's a good point. Mm. I also, it's wild to me that this is all pre-euro because they keep talking about
Franks and lira.
So I've got a big tin in the apartment that is all this pre-euro change that I've carried around with me since 2000.
Yeah,
I have one too. It's in the shape of a London double-decker bus.
Aww.
Yeah,
it has that's a little cool.
Coin slot on the top.
That's cool.
Yeah, because my dad would go on business. He'd go to conferences, and every other year the conference was outside of the United States, and he'd bring us back little bits of foreign money as children.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
We have quite the collection because we had mine, and then George got very interested in it. So shout out to Sarah Carradine, who sent us a huge box of foreign change and a few little trinkets for George. And we've had the most fun time looking at all the different, like the Australian and New Zealand money. And I think there was Singapore and Hong Kong in there. It's fun stuff.
There was a tiny moment where when you said brought us, I really thought you meant the whole patrol.
Well, you guys are local. I'll share.
Yeah.
So sad.
We could come experience the foreign money collection.
Come over. Yeah. George will show you his coin collection.
I would love that.
Mm.
And he's also obsessed with those penny flattening machines.
Oh, sure.
He will talk about that for like an hour.
Love it.
Come prepared.
They're cool machines. I remember being a small child and thinking that was the best.
It is small child.
Yeah.
It's the best now.
Dude. Yeah.
I'm not even going to apologize.
Get those souvenir pennies.
So everyone is doing the favorite to least favorite thing. Is it at dinner? It's at dinner where we find out that Katie is jellyphobic.
Is there even a name for that?
I'm sure there is.
Gelactophobia.
Oh, gosh.
How do I even Google for this? I want to know now.
Oh,
I'm not even sure how to look it up.
I'm not going to Google it in case there's a mole spoiler.
Yeah. I'll do it for you, Josh.
Al is doing
like a Catskills stand-up set.
Yeah.
Josh, you were not far off. It's called gelatinophobia.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, with a Z.
Okay.
Gelatinophobia. There is a whole ass wiki called the Phobia Wiki.
A fear of jelly.
Yep. Gelatinophobia.
It's great.
Yeah.
So Al is killing it with his whole jelly routine.
I'm not afraid of jelly. A little bit of peanut butter. Oh, ha, 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 ha.
But also Al is talking about how Katie has such a need for attention as if he does not have this need for attention. He's
he
like
doesn't like the competition. He wants to clear it out.
Yeah.
No more competition.
Yeah.
What about jellyfish? That really brought the house down. Everyone goes nuts. Anderson loses it.
Oh, it killed in Luca.
Great. Super great.
I want to know, why did they make everybody go through this exercise 2 weeks in a row?
Gosh,
about like the ranking thing?
Yeah,
I was curious about that as well. Maybe because they thought that they would get Olavia again. This feels like a little bit of a setup that like Olavia would be somebody who would make an interesting choice here potentially. I don't know. Maybe.
It certainly shakes up the game because so many people suspected her.
It's a wild moment. It's really crazy. I mean, I don't know if we're just like hopping to that at this point. I mean, there's the quiz. My notes are always pretty light when we get to the quiz stuff, which is maybe stupid of me. I don't know if there was anything like massively notable this week, but like the big thing, because like the quiz doesn't end up playing, is that at the execution, Anderson doxes everybody. First of all, here in Luca, we're at the town executioner's house, and there's poor Rudy's head on a spike.
Yeah, because that's what they did with executed prisoners back in the day.
Jess, I'm so mad that we didn't do a heads on spikes draft for this.
Yeah, we should have.
So stupid of us.
I don't think, but I don't know, like, you would not have picked Gnome.
I wouldn't have known to.
You wouldn't have known to.
Greased up Gnome. To.
Yeah.
Named Rudy.
Rest in peace. But Anderson then, like, just, like, doxes who everybody, like, put as their least favorite, mm-hmm. which is a really spicy thing to do, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this would be, I don't know. I think, like, there's, like, a certain degree of, like, anonymity that you need for this stuff. Otherwise, for, like, future seasons, you're always just going to try and game this stuff. Like, I think, like, there's got to be some degree of sanctity here. Otherwise, like, you're just, like, you're never going to get honest anything. And, like, I think, like, in something like this, like, it's not the end of the world to, like, start to try and, like, game stuff. But then, like, you lose the value of favorite, least favorite. Like, when you're going to make it, like, this outwardly personal. I think that this, to me, feels like a game design error, personally.
Interesting.
I don't know. But Olavia is the least favorite, and he offers her a bribe. There's a briefcase with $49,992 in it. Here's the $8 from all of the contestants.
Now everybody wrote their offensive lists, he says.
Now you have $50,000 in cold, hard cash. Take it and walk out of the game tonight. Or don't.
Would you do it?
I'd have questions. Are you going to tax me?
Yeah, do I, like, get how to much?
Am I keeping this straight up? Also, like, what am I making based on placement on the show?
Yeah. Mm. Not 50 grand, probably.
Probably not. Probably not. I think, like, depending on the answers to those questions, though, like, if they're favorable in combination with that $50,000, I'm like, yeah, I've seen a lot. You know, I've been here in Italy for a long time.
I've lived out my boyhood fantasy.
I was at a whole ass Alp, you know.
I got to go to your mountain hut.
I saw your mountain house. Like, I think I'm good. I think I might take the cold hard cash. Why not?
Yeah.
It's probably hard to say no to. I'd have a hard time saying no to that much money staring me in the face.
Yeah.
I would
book, like, a really cheap, like train ride to some. I would backpack on that 50K for, like, 4 years.
Yeah, maybe I wouldn't even go home. I'd just take my suitcase of cash and go adventuring.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, I'm already here. The expensive part. Yeah, is already
exactly.
Taken care,
like,
of.
I'm. Can I stay? That would be one of the other questions. Can I stay?
Yeah.
Do I have to go home? Plane,
or can I stay here?
Can I stick around? Because then, like, yeah, I'm for sure taking this. Especially when she's like, this was kind of for the journey. It's like, well, keep journeying. These people don't like you.
Yeah, okay, bye. I don't want to spend a bunch of time around people that don't like me.
I think I would say, I'm going to protect my peace and live my life and peace out.
Mm-hmm.
She takes the money. She says, peace out. Thanks for not liking me.
Yeah. I like that as she's thinking about it, she asks the group if they have any suggestions, and Darwin says, it's guaranteed cash, Olavia.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a lawyer, so she says she's going to take her legal counsel's advice.
I loved it. I really didn't think she would.
Nobody did. Totally. Everybody's shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Darwin thought she was the mole. Al is screwed because he says she was the top of the pecking order, and now she's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody is in shock. Anderson escorts her out because she's carrying the briefcase.
Anderson and Olavia. He tells Olavia, it was really cool meeting you. And she goes, it was nice meeting you. And he's like it's sort of like a, I don't know, should I be, like, overly excited around Anderson? And then he's like, no, please be excited around me. And they, like, hug it out. He's like, take me out in New York. Oh, man, I hope that happened. I really do.
I liked Olavia a lot. I thought she was great. I loved like the way that she like bartered with Anderson last week, and she like would like she called his bluff. She's calling his bluff now. She's like, yeah, 50,000. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye. Yeah.
And then he heads back to the group and he's about to commence the execution.
Okay,
I'm
going to
start entering your names into the computer. Nope. Okay.
That's a fun troll.
More jumps gnome. Up and down, does a little wiggly dance. It sings, I love this game.
Love this game so much that I'm going to leave it.
Mm-hmm. So the players do not find out how they did on the quiz. They don't know who did the worst.
Do they get that information?
I don't believe so. I think they know if there's a tie, but they don't know the person who stays from the tie doesn't know that.
Yeah,
but they never know how well they've done, right?
No, not until. Okay. There are a couple of instances this season where it has gotten out, like who was in the tie or who would have gone home if this hadn't happened.
Yeah.
You find out a little bit of that later, but.
Okay.
The person who would have gone home tonight wins the game.
Yes.
That was the thing I was kind of talking around, Zed.
Yeah,
I know, but he doesn't know who that is.
Oh, no, he does not know.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Good tip. All right. So that's it
could
for
be anybody.
That's
except
it.
Except Olavia.
It's not Olavia. It's not Olavia. Dorothy is bummed that Olavia is gone. So everyone thought it was you or me. We could run this thing.
Yeah, they had a tight. They like established a really good working relationship.
Yeah.
And Dorothy had ranked Olavia as her favorite player. She says, "I like the way that she's playing.
I liked her. I liked her a lot." And so that's it. That's this week's The Mole. It was the best one yet. And the fact that it's going to get better than this is amazing.
So
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Oh, I'm so happy. All right. So that's the do we have any feedback or because of our recording schedule? Maybe not.
Yeah, I didn't solicit any.
Yep. That's cool. We'll get there. Make sure you're sending your feedback in for Jess and Zed for the spoiler filled edition of Mole Patrol coming your way next week. MolePatrol@RobHasAWebsite.com. That's MolePatrol@RobHasAWebsite.com. Guess it's time for games.
It's time for games.
Fun is over. Now it's time for games.
I want to publicly apologize for freaking out about the strain last week.
You have nothing to apologize
AJ for. Mass and I am assuming we have squashed our beef in the DMs. As of this podcast coming out. And if not, then he is my sworn enemy and I shall scorch the earth in pursuit of AJ Mass.
Is he himself Strigoi to you?
Yes, yes. Strigoi J Mass? I don't think that quite works. No, not really. It's a reach. It's a reach. Let's see if we can't reach and get some points on the board, Zed. I want to see us getting two tonight.
Okay.
Great.
Let's be ambitious.
What do you got for us, Jess?
All right, kids. Well, this week, I'm kind of sad because I feel like the mole itself gets better and better with each subsequent week from here on out. But I don't know how I'm going to top this week because this is a very fun week. This week we are doing kids shows.
Okay.
And I don't believe these are kids shows that you're going to be hyper familiar with because I feel like of the three, one of them, there's no way you've ever seen it. One of them, you are probably too old to have seen it. And the other one, you may be too young. Like, I think, well, we'll get there. I think Josh may have caught the tail end of one of these.
Okay. Games,
but all right. So we're going to start out with a children's program that aired on Nickelodeon called Yo Gabba Gabba.
No, I never did Yo Gabba Gabba.
Heard of it, never watched
Never done Yo Gabba Gabba.
So the premise of Yo Gabba Gabba, basically it ran from 2007 to 2015, had four seasons, and it featured... it featured these anthropomorphic toys. They were called Fufa, Muno, Broby, Tootie, and Plex. And they were I think they were owned or somehow managed by this guy in a big puffy orange hat named DJ Lance. And most of these episodes featured music. They featured a lot of indie bands would come on and do performances or like perform a song that was then like set to animation. And so it was actually one of those shows that like your little kid would watch it, but then you as the grown up could feel cool because there's something in it for you.
Okay.
So that's the setup on Yo Gabba Gabba. And it is fun. You can catch a lot of it on YouTube. You can't stream it anywhere, but we've been catching it on YouTube. And George and I vetted some of these episodes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. If the questions are too hard, then I'm going to rein in my reaction so as not to get really mad at George.
Well, he's not going to listen to the podcast. So
he will someday, I assume. And, you know, yeah. By the time he's listening to the podcast, I hope we're good friends. And so I don't want to like spoil the friendship. So I'm going to keep it reined in.
You can, you know what?
Also, even if he doesn't listen to the podcast, Jess, I don't want to scream at your child so that you and I can still be friends.
Fair enough. But I will say that sometime far off in the future, you're not going to be the only person who's still mad at something George did when he was four.
Also fair.
Okay. So here we go. We're going to start out. I'm going to read you these four descriptions. And as usual, three of them are real and one of them is fake. So here we go.
Bring it on.
All right. This episode is called Nature. The friends plan a trip to the top of Gabba Mountain to visit DJ Lance's friend Barbara, a fuzzy butterfly voiced by Marissa Jarrett Whitaker. An animated segment features a Decemberist song called The Great Outdoors, and Band of Horses performs Out in Nature. Well, Paul Scheer, dressed as a giant leaf, tells Jack McBrayer the knock-knock joke of the day.
Okay. It's like a fairly fun time on television.
So Yo Gabba Gabba is not an animated show, except for these.
There are animated segments. There are live-action segments. They're like people in full-on suits.
Okay.
But they're miniature, so the special effect is that like you zoom in, and it's like people in suits, and you zoom out, and they're little.
Okay.
They're toys that come to life.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So this next episode is called Doctor. When Tootie has a cold, she needs a visit from Dr. Tony, played by Anthony Bourdain, who prescribes rest and orange juice and suggests that her friends make her a healthy meal like chicken soup. Meanwhile, Of Montreal performs bananas, rice, applesauce, toast, and Bismarcky's beat of the day is give a get, wicka wicka well.
I fully believe that all of that is real, and I'll be so sad if it's not.
So much.
Because I'm going to look it up like almost as soon as we're done here.
Well, put a pin in that, Josh, because I feel like there's a couple of these you're going to want to look up.
Okay.
R.I.P. Bismarcky
and Anthony Bourdain,
of course.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, very sad. Bismarcky, by the way, he did a lot of episodes of Yo Gabba Gabba. He wasn't in every episode, but he frequently had a segment called Beat of the Day.
Bismarcky in the next two questions too, I assume.
He's in one of the other questions, but that doesn't mean anything. It's not a 50-50.
Got it.
All right. So the next episode is called Farm. The gang visits a farm owned by Farmer Josh, played by Lost Josh Holloway in a straw hat and bib overalls. Farmer Josh performs a song about farm chores before blasting off on a flying tractor, but he's back in time for the hoedown. Psychedelic rockers Dr. Dog perform When You're a Gardener, and the show also features a song by Irish electropop group The High Llamas called Living on a Farm.
Oh, okay. I want to live on a farm.
With Josh High Llamas, Holloway?
By the way.
Yeah.
All right, and finally, the fourth episode I'm going to describe to you is called Library. Muno really wants to check out a book about teeth, so the gang learns all about libraries from Librarian Vic, played by aliases Victor Garber. Bismarcky teaches a beat of the day that's basically just shushing. An animate segment features Feist's hit song 1-2-3-4, rewritten to be about the Dewey Decimal System, and Arcade Fire performs Look It Up.
Huh. Okay. As usual, I'm not sure that I feel like there's a great tell here, Zed. Are you having any strong inclinations to kick us off?
I'd heard of the bands in, I think, 3 out of the 4 questions.
Yeah, I think, well, I think, like, everybody is a person. Like, the bands, like, there were They're a few that...
These are all real
yeah.
bands.
Of course, yeah.
I was just pleased that you said indie rock bands, and yet I knew 3 out of 4, or I guess 6 out of 8.
Well, this is indie rock bands that are slightly before your time, Zed.
Yeah.
Well...
Yeah, there's a lot of this is like sweet spot stuff for me. So
that's what I figured, Josh.
Yeah, in terms of the bands.
I would not have to explain who the bands are to you.
No, man. I'm going to be really bummed if the Bourdain one is fake. So I just want to assume that it's real because I really want to watch that. I really want to watch
Holloway that. Doing Yo Gabba Gabba in 2007 ish.
I mean, that's when he's famous. You know, like it's lost as a thing still. It's like less of a thing, but like it's not really a get to have Josh Holloway after Lost. So if he's going to do the show, it's going to happen. Listen, don't disrespect Colony. That show got unfairly canceled. It was great. It sucks. All of these like save blank shows. Come on, Netflix. And no one fought for Colony. You idiots. Unbelievable. Sorry,
he had like 3 seasons of a show that I've never heard of on Amazon. Yellowstone or something.
Oh, he's in he shows up in season 3, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Nice try, Paramount Plus. It's still not going to work. Nice shot, though. I appreciate the effort.
Okay, so do we think the Josh Holloway one is real?
Eventually, one of these Lost baits is like going to be wrong. Who's the talent in the nature one? Jack McBrayer, Paul Scheer.
You have Marissa Jarrett Winoker of Broadway fame. Zachary. Yep, and Celebrity Big Brother fame.
I think it's going to be one of the ones that I'm going to be bummed doesn't exist, and so it's really mostly Bourdain or Josh Holloway. And eventually, I think like. One of the Lost ones is fake. And so I think we have to like pick one of the Lost ones.
Okay.
I think now might be the time.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Josh Holloway, final answer.
Okay. Well, I think you're going to be happy and sad.
Yeah.
Cause you are incorrect.
That means it exists.
Yeah. It means it exists. You can go look it up on YouTube. I watched the whole thing. It's wonderful. Bourdain is also real.
Thank God. Okay, good.
It like legit tears.
Yeah.
The one that I made up is the one with Victor Garber in the library.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I would have been happy about that too.
Yeah, I would have watched that one.
Yeah.
But they're all great. Like honestly, you can throw a rock and hit a Yo Gabba Gabba episode. And it's going to be fun.
I love that.
It's a great show.
That's great.
All right. So this next one. This next one is all written by the great Sarah Carradine, who I did not believe that any of these were real. And then I had to look it up independently and verify this. I had to check the facts. This is indeed a real show that really aired and really was for children. I just to set this up. this is an Australian children's television program. it is called Round the Twist. It is about a family who lives in a haunted lighthouse, and it aired 4 seasons across the decades. It aired on and off from 1989 to 2001, and they recast actors periodically. But yeah, that's the setup. It's an Australian children's TV show about a family living in a haunted lighthouse.
Round the Twist?
Round the Twist, it is called.
I love the name.
It's a great name.
What an incredible name for a thing. Round the Twist.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah.
Wow.
I really need to see this show. I'm gonna put it here. So the children, the ones she mentions here are there's 14-year-old Pete and his twin sister Linda, and then there's a younger kid named Bronson. Like, and then there's the parents, I guess. So all right, just to
Bronson's
set that up.
A great name for a kid.
A great name, yeah. Keep that one. Yeah, keep getting that if you're ever gonna have kids.
Your kid's so cute. What's his name? Bronson. Awesome.
Is he named after Charles Bronson?
Yeah.
Or Alki?
Yeah, you got a death wish. Yeah. Bronson.
Yeah, it's great. Okay.
Named after Pierce.
Ooh, no, that's Brosnan.
Brosnan.
Yeah, but we got it wrong. We named him Bronson. He's named after Pierce, but we only found out after the fact that it's Brosnan.
What if you had twins and you named one Bronson and Brosnan?
Brosnan and Bronson?
Oh, my God.
That's a law office.
Yes. Okay, so all of that is to set up this program. And I swear to you, three of these are real, and one of them is fake. Okay, so to set all that up. Here we go. 14-year-old Pete Twist pees on a tree and becomes impregnated by a tree spirit who declares she has fallen in love with him. Later in the episode, Pete gives birth to a tiny green baby by burping.
Unexpected non-consensual impregnation always makes me upset.
This is a children's show?
This is a children's show.
Four kids.
Four kids.
I mean, it's called Round the Twist. It's,
Well, that's quite the twist, Zed.
What a twist.
What a okay. twist. Round it.
So that's one episode. Here's another episode. Pete and his twin sister, Linda, are attacked by a flock of seagulls who can't stop shitting.
Sure.
Sarah wrote these.
Excuse me?
Flock of seagulls.
Like the flock of seagulls, like collectively, the whole flock, it's like a solidarity thing. Like, you're shitting, so I'm shitting.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you're shitting, I'm shitting.
Yep.
We're all shitting. Yep. Doug okay. the seagulls, like, I'm not
I
doing
read a
it.
Book today called Bloop Bloop Goes the Poop so many times. There's been a lot of poop in my life today.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I've been there.
You be quiet, Doug. We're all doing it. Sam's not feeling well, so you're not feeling well. I feel fine. Shut up, Doug. The whole flock is doing it.
It's the whole flock.
I can't stop.
Social pooping.
Wow. Okay. So this flock of seagulls can't stop shitting is the terminology.
Completely. I think this is Sarah's terminology.
Got it.
I don't
that's
believe
Sarah's
that's how they referred to it on the show, but I couldn't change her words because it was just so evocative. Completely covered in droppings, the children shelter in a beach shack, which is immediately engulfed in seagull poo. They escape through the chimney.
That's a dangerous method of escape. That's a vertical climb. I feel like some ninja warrior stuff.
Break through some more poo.
Yeah, like what are they like coming into? Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so then if like the force of the pressure, they fall, they drop, they die. Vertical climb is a terrifying way to get out of that situation. What lessons are we learning, by the way?
Does all children's show have to teach a lesson, Josh?
Yes, that's the whole point.
I don't know about have to.
I assure you a lot of it does not.
Okay.
Okay. So next episode, Linda discovers that her bum has been detaching itself at night and causing havoc in town.
Yeah. I mean, who hasn't been there?
This is also the plot of a King Missile song, sort of.
Oh yeah, that's a different part though.
Different part.
Yeah, it's detachable.
Yeah, it's
my wayward bum.
Yeah.
The children stealthily follow Linda's bum.
This is where you get the phrase bumming around.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. They manage to capture it, that lousy bum, and reattach it with the help of a mysterious stranger.
That lousy bum.
Is this a cartoon?
I believe it is live action.
Do you have an actor walking around without a butt?
Yeah, so this is where I start to question it, because, like, how are they visually representing this? It's not nothing to
bounce.
Let me just be clear about this.
Actor?
The wandering bum I'm on board with. the wayward butt that's causing havoc in town. That's fine.
Yeah.
That I got.
The buttless
I can see
person.
It. The buttless person, the butt shirtless person.
You have pants with like a concave area.
Well, you wear like regular clothes, but then you have like a green screen butt flap, like on old timey pajamas.
Yeah, but what time, you know, we're talking 89 to 2001. Are we doing that?
93, I think it's possible. There was green screen in 93.
They made David
green
Bowie
screen
into
butt
a
flaps.
CGI. They made David Bowie into a CGI owl in 1983. They got green screen butt flaps by 1990. I believe it.
Okay.
All right. So we're cataloging two potential instances of butt stuff here on Round the Twist. So far, Round the Twist is sounding like a great television show.
I'm going to binge watch this entire series, not with my child in the room, but independently of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so finally, the final episode that we're going to describe to you today. 8-year-old Bronson swallows a fish, which makes its way into his penis and turns the penis.
Jess, are you all right?
I can't look at you guys.
Yeah.
Well, Josh like hit himself in his hat. He's like pulled down the brim.
I know what you're talking about. I'm keeping it together. I'm pretty poised. I haven't moved. I've been in the picture of stoicism.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I'm not looking at you guys. I'm putting my hand over. All right. 8-year-old Bronson swallows a fish, which makes its way into his penis and turns the penis into a propeller. Turns the penis into a propeller. With this added advantage, Bronson wins the school swimming carnival.
I'm sorry.
I want to tank here. I want to believe that they are all real. I think all of them are real.
I want to give a shout out to Sarah Carradine for breaking the quiz. I think we're going to be able to beat this.
Every single one of them happened. Every episode, every one of them.
No, you got to pick one. One of them is fake.
I don't know. What am I supposed to do here?
I don't know.
They all got to be real.
Oh, man.
If one of them is real, then all of them are real.
Three of them are real.
Was when he pees on a tree, gets pregnant, and has a green baby.
By burping.
Let's go with that.
Oh, gosh. Bronson swallows a fish and it ends up in his penis. The way that it's written, it has the cadence of like Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and Kit doesn't know where to find them.
I can't. Oh, no.
It's like the start of a nursery rhyme gone very wrong.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh, Sarah, I'm literally in tears.
Yes, am I. Boy. I have not laughed this hard at a Mole Patrol quiz since AJ Mass's reality show of the chimpanzee.
Oh, my God.
You want to say the pregnant tree?
Sure.
Okay. Pregnant tree. We're locking it in.
Yeah.
You're incorrect.
Fine.
The detachable bum is the...
the butt flaps!
Butt flap. But I will say, like, Sarah provided...
Come on!
Sarah provided episode titles here. And I did not include the episode titles that she gave me because the fake episode title she gave for the butt episode, I felt like it gave it away.
Got it.
Because in fact, a children's book called The Day My Butt Went Psycho.
The Day My Butt Went Psycho.
And that's what she called the fake episode. I'm like, well, there's a children's book called that. And they may have read it.
I have not.
I've read it. I have
not read this book.
I don't recommend it. But if you're 8 years old, it's pretty much up your humor alley. I will give you that.
The fish.
Yeah, the fish.
The fish that turns Ronson's penis into a propeller is real.
It's real.
Outstanding. Yeah. Outstanding. Round of the twist.
Ronson smiles.
All right, well, now at this point,
fish,
I feel like
its way to
there,
his
isn't
penis.
There isn't another round of the twist coming right now, right? We're past it.
We've got one more set of questions here.
But not on Round the Twist?
No.
All right, so cool. No, so I'm just going to quickly... Round the Twist has an intro available that I am going to play for us here on the podcast, folks. Give me just a quick second.
Oh, boy.
As I set that up, I have no idea what we are getting ourselves into as we Round the Twist. It's the 1989 intro for Round the Twist. I hope everybody is ready for this.
I don't think we can possibly.
We never will be.
Okay. Silence all cell phones. Round of the Twist theme song starting now. It's just the title is bouncing all over the screen.
Is that a mannequin?
Wow. This is a kid with an oversized shirt who's running around. They're all scared of stuff.
This is extremely 1989.
Oh, some kid just got knocked out with a block.
He got beamed.
They just unearthed a skull.
A human skull.
One kid just almost said, oh,
oh, sick guitar moves. That kid looked like Macaulay Culkin.
Wow, two adults were French kissing.
Like full-on tongues, real tongues.
There's a fire-breathing dragon and a kid who I have to assume was Bronson, who was consumed by the fire at the end of the song.
Consumed by the fire?
Yeah, you got consumed by the fire.
Okay, Bill.
Yeah. Yesterday, I watched Round the Twist.
Well,
a great show from yesteryear.
Josh, you're going on vacation. You're probably going to need a show to binge. Your assignment is to go watch this entire series and come back to us.
I'm feeling Round of the Twist.
Same. He's going to watch it before vacation.
He's going to watch it tonight. Like, tonight. Yo Gabba Gabba.
I'm sorry, Yo Gabba Gabba. Take a back seat to Round the Twist.
Incredible.
Round the Twist.
Wow.
Never heard of such a thing. We're going to need to get Sarah Carradine on a special. I think this is a post-show recaps patron podcast about Round the Twist. Sarah, we'll be in touch.
You know, the phrase means like they've gone round the twist means like they've gone off the deep end. They've gone crazy.
Yeah, clearly they have the twist.
They've been around the twist a couple of times.
Round the twist.
Well, because of the staircase in the light.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. More and more around the twist every day.
We're going to do that. We'll do that with Sarah and the Mole Patrol for the Potion Recaps patrons. Yeah. We'll get that going. Round the Twist.
I was looking for a new Australian show to binge watch. That's been my thing lately.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to close things out tonight with an oldie but a goodie. I'm sure that this is a franchise you are both very familiar with. And I think maybe I'm taking a little pity on you here. But we're going to be talking about episodes of The Smurfs.
Okay, yeah, sure, I know that.
Familiar with the Smurfs?
A little bit, but not much.
So, little blue guys, chased by the anthropomorphic representation of capitalism in the form of Gargamel.
Yeah, sure.
Heard of that.
All right, so...
Heard that.
So here we go. These are four episodes of The Smurfs. Man, I should have closed with Round of Twist, because
It's hard to beat. Can't top that.
Oh, man.
All right, so
you're going round the twist.
Oh man!
What an incredible theme song!
It ends up in his penis.
Yes, it turns into a propeller, and he wins the swim race. And this is after his older siblings escaped death by a flock of seagulls perpetually shitting all over them,
and were non-consensually impregnated by a tree.
All of that's real.
Is real.
Are you going round the twist?
Sarah Carradine, you've broken the quiz.
Oh, by now I've already DM'd Sarah Carradine with the words round the twist.
Well, it's like the middle of the day over there, so it's a great time.
Yeah, great timing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, The Smurfs. So here are some episodes from The Smurfs, and you tell me which one of these is one that I made up. Okay. Gargamel shapes a magical lump of blue clay into a Smurfette and sends her to the Smurf village to serve as a saboteur. The Smurfs set to work making her feel welcome, and when she confesses that she's taking orders from Gargamel, Papa Smurf takes pity on her, changing her hair color from black to blonde, giving her high heels, and making her nose smaller.
Okay.
The next betrayal.
Yeah.
The next betrayal, yes. Hmm. All right, so when Lazy Smurf... There's Lazy Smurf.
Sure.
When Lazy Smurf is bitten by a mysterious fly, he turns purple, develops super strength, and begins hopping around yelling, "Gnap, gnap!" He can pass the purples along by biting other Smurfs on the butt, and the purpleness spreads throughout the village while Papa Smurf searches for a cure. In the original comic, the Smurfs turned black, which is obviously problematic for a host of reasons.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Several Smurfs are out collecting Smurf berries when a large one-eyed ogre lures them into a cave and traps them, intending to sell them to Gargamel. Brainy Smurf tricks the ogre into thinking that his name is Nobody, so that when Gargamel comes to collect, the ogre says he has nobody in the cave. The Smurfs then escape by hiding under the ogre's sheep when they go out to graze.
Okay.
And finally, this is a Smurf Christmas episode. Papa Smurf rescues a pair of children who are lost in the woods. These are human children, not Smurf children. When he gives them treats and presents, naturally, they mistake him for Santa Claus, because Papa Smurf, you know, red hat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gargamel kidnaps the children and sells them to a mysterious stranger in exchange for a magical scroll that will destroy the Smurf village. The stranger then takes the children to a field and apparently opens a portal to hell, but the Smurfs use the power of song to close the portal and free the kids. The power of song also rebuilds the devastated Smurf village just in time for Christmas.
It's a powerful song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
So we have Saboteur Smurfette.
Yeah.
Is it Brainy Smurf that says nobody's in the cave and then they escape in the sheep?
Yep.
Christmas Smurfs.
Mm-hmm. And biting on the butt.
Oh, yeah, the purples.
I've got nothing. I got to tell you, I'm still just stuck on round two.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's
oh,
back.
No, not again.
Yeah, I just like can't get past this. There's a lighthouse, as you said. The round the twist comes up on there. They're with mannequins. They're looking up at the sky like something terrible has happened. Are you? One kid's wearing a mask, like they know. And I mean, like a pandemic mask. One person is doing some. Again, the kid just gets knocked out with a box.
Why is there a human skull?
He looks dead. I think it's Bronson. And then there's
that's
like
why
two.
They had to recast him.
There's two like corporate greedy people. Again, the French kissing that happens. One person has night vision goggles. Yeah. And then poor Bronson gets consumed by a dragon at the end of it.
Are there other intros? Like, should we be comparing and contrasting the intros over?
We'll save it for the Round the Twist podcast. Yeah. Okay. Zed, this is your show. I have no idea what's going on with Smurfs.
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
I barely heard the questions.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just pick three. I'll go question three.
I effed this up horribly. I should have done this one second and saved Round the Twist for like the end of all podcasts.
I heard the Smurfette question and then I completely tuned out because I was just still thinking about Round the Twist.
Because of the next betrayal and Saboteur.
Okay. All right. So the one-eyed ogre is the incorrect one, is the made up one, because that is actually a plot point from Homer's The Odyssey. And the other ones are plot points from the Smurfs.
I did not even hear the questions.
I don't know. That was supposed to be funny. And it's not funny because Round the Twist.
It has consumed all of our brain space.
I have the song in my head now. It's never going to go away. It's like,
have you ever, this is how it goes. Have you ever felt like this? How strange things happen. Are you going around the twist? Yeah.
The thing is, though, it looks like, I mean, apart from like the cheesy stuff, it looks like a shitty children's show that nine-year-olds
like
would watch. Looks like Wishbone. It looks like.
But madness.
Yeah.
But madness is the fake answer.
Yes.
On Round the Twist.
But there's no hint of penis fish anywhere in this.
We lost the quiz, but we won as well.
I think we've all won.
The real quiz was the Round the Twist we met along
the way. The real quiz was the twist we rounded along the way. Yeah.
Howard along the way.
Yeah.
Round Howard the Twist.
Round Howard the Twist.
How are we ever doing another quiz?
Have we ever do a quiz?
The quiz is
strange things happen.
It's done. It's gone. No more quiz.
Gosh.
It's the Mole Patrol quiz twist.
Just keep giving us more Round the Twist plot.
Yeah, I would be down.
I feel like if she did the most ludicrous ones, I read all the descriptions.
Yeah. Yeah. Are those the only three episodes like that? What else happens on Round the Twist? I want to know. We'll do it.
Where a child suddenly has a propeller on his penis because he ate a fish.
How do they do that?
How are they like airing that? Like,
that's my question.
Crazy
yeah.
things will happen.
Have you ever felt like this? I haven't.
There's an episode called Without My Pants.
Don't leave home without them.
But not without your butt.
List of Round the Twist episodes. Here we go.
No, don't tell me right now.
No.
Too much overload.
Yeah. Gotta savor it.
We'll do it. We'll do a special one-off over at PSR.
There are books.
Firm PSR territory. We'll get there. All right. We got to wrap it up here. This is hysterical. I laughed so hard tonight. Thank you both. I just had such a great time. Thank you, everyone who's listening to The Patrol. We're having so much fun doing it. Next week, Zed and Jess are back. I am not. It's all spoilers all the time. So if you're just watching this week by week and you're unspoiled, don't listen to next week's podcast. They'll give you copious spoiler warnings at the top of the show so you'll know. Don't wander into it by accident. It's the all spoiler edition of Mole Patrol Season 2. So they will give you all of that. Good stuff. Jess is at Haymaker Hattie. Zed is at Hard Rock Hope. Email them both. MolePatrol@robhasawebsite.com. Did I miss anything?
You're changing your Twitter handle to @RoundTheTwist now.
Yeah, @RoundHowardTheTwist.
I'm DMing Sarah right now. I'm telling her she broke the quiz.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, she has responded to me with LOLs. Yeah. Yeah.
Much laughing out loud has occurred this evening.
Have you ever is what I'm sending her. Have you ever felt like this?
All right. I'm gonna be up all night.
When strange things happen. Are you going round the twist? Is what I've just sent her.
I have such a long work day tomorrow, and there's no way I could fall asleep right now.
Yeah, gotta binge watch all of Round the Twist. All right. Well, we've got our priorities straight. We'll be back next week, or they'll be back next week. I shall not be. I'll be back in 2 weeks. 2 weeks, we've got episode 8. Until then, everybody, take care. Go round the twist. Bye bye. Oh,